Sunday morning. It was wonderful to see all your masked faces as I came in this morning. Getting to be quite the stylish situation, isn't it? I appreciate the opportunity to preach, and my wife and I are glad to be here. We were thankful there was a way to communicate Don had set up, and we trust that helped some in the ministry. Appreciate that idea of a prayer time between services coming up in August. I think that's a great idea, and seems to be one of the areas that some churches are beginning to be quite weak on as regard to prayer meeting times, specific times for prayer. So we're glad to hear that. Well, anyway, the powers that be, at least Jay, said, preach as long as you want. Now, that's dangerous, say, to a Baptist preacher. And I was just kind of thinking, maybe the water leaking all over. Maybe the baptism was just lonely or something and needed to get that going again. Well, the book of Titus. We've been in Titus, or I have been at least, sharing some things of the book of Titus since last December. Kind of introduced it a little bit and said we'll work on it through this year. And so we're trying to do that. So the book of Titus, a great little book. Pastor Titus had a ministry on an island, and it seemed to have been a pretty difficult place to have had a ministry. But our desire and thought has been, well, we're going to kind of work over throughout the year, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. And we've gotten a little ways into it and kind of working on this section and that section and trying to pull it all together. But Titus 2, that verse 11, which we spent some time on, reads in this way, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Just God's great grace upon grace to have his salvation spread forth to Jews and Gentiles worldwide. And so we go with the gospel because of that. And, of course, that grace of God, verse 12, is a teacher, is teaching us that here's what we're to be doing, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. And that in that teaching we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So in this time we are living in, down through the ages since the scripture, this portion was written, as people would read it, as local churches would gather, and as the individuals of the church would look at the scriptures, they would be reminded, whatever age we are in, here's the way to live. God's redeemed people live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And God's people are those that are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. He who appeared, verse 11, going to appear again, we are taught here in 13. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who, and here's our where we're coming into this morning hour, who gave himself, that's our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us. For what reason? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. That's what you are. You're his own special people, zealous of good works. And so as the pastor, Pastor Titus, was to speak these things, and so we are, exhort and rebuke. with all authority, let no one despise you. Well, we've read the scriptures we're going to be preaching on and primarily working on that verse 14 this morning. And you know, this is a section of God's word that constantly strengthens us. Each time we read it, you're kind of thinking down through it, and wow, look at that. There's what the Lord has given us help in difficult times. A wonderful portion just to ponder. Take the scriptures and sit down someplace with them. Don't sit outside today. I wouldn't encourage that, but sit someplace down and just... You know, there's no preacher, certainly I cannot, I'm not able to bring out in my words the preciousness of all that's involved here. But you can read it, pause and consider it, contemplate it, dwell upon it, mull it over in your mind. And rejoice in it. And then when that's done, we press on in the midst of a world that seems to be a bit out of whack from what we're used to. But maybe it's the way things will be from now on. By the way, our specific point here is going to be verse 14 as you glance at it. And when you look at verse 14, perhaps your minds go to other words that Paul had written. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1:15, he wrote this. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." What is that faithful saying that's worthy of all acceptance that he gave? You remember? Come on, pull it out of those recesses of the mind there. Christ Jesus came into the world what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief, he said of himself. Yes, and each one of us say that as we look at our lives through the scriptures and think about our lives, and we think, boy, this is such a faithful and saying worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm one of them, indeed, of whom I, in fact, am foremost or chief. And that comes to our minds when we read Titus 2 and verse 14 of Christ who gave himself for us, for me a sinner. For what reason? Well, there's actually a double reason there, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own peculiar people zealous of good works. So the Savior Jesus Christ gave himself, and that for us. Gave himself for our individual interests, our place in our stead. You ever been standing in line, and it's a long, long line, and someone says to you, "I'll go ahead." It's kind of nice, isn't it? Get a few spaces up. Someone gives you their spot, their place. And here the Lord Jesus Christ took our very, very, very place. Our contemplation of that glorious truth of verse 14, the Savior Jesus Christ who gave himself for us should result in a life that says, "My life is no longer my own. I belong to Christ who purchased me. My life is sold out to his glory and his honor." And each one of us, as professing believers, must determine for ourselves the daily outcome of just four words. What's the daily outcome of everything in our lives by just four words? Gave himself for us. What's the outcome of each of our days? What are each of our days like? What goes on with regard to them? I got lots of questions this morning. Trust they'll help us to pull things, get our minds in circulation of working on these things. And one is this, these four words. What is that truth gave himself for us, done for us in these days that we're living in? He gave himself for us. He gave himself for me. And what are we doing with those four words? What do we do with them day by day? Gave himself for me. Gave himself for us. Or what might we begin to do with those four little words that are so precious? By Jesus Christ's sinless sacrificial death, he merited for us the work of the Spirit of God through the Word of God to go forth with it. Out of our very hearts it comes. And if there's no convicting work of the Holy Spirit in us, there is no way for us to live life that is honoring as it could be of him. Now we have in this verse, verse 14, I'm sure you've noticed it, in verse 14 we have a Jesus Christ in a twofold purpose of his death. There's a negative side and there's a positive side. And I often think with regard to that, so many people think positive. And I often say to them, well, you know, my car has a battery. It has a positive side, but it also has a negative side. It don't work too well. The two must go together in the right form and way and reasoning of things. And so here we have some negative thought with regard to this verse, who gave himself for us. The negative, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness. Why is that negative? Well, because we as sinners, he died because we are sinners. It certainly is negative when we brought about the death of the Lord Jesus, yet out of his great gift who gave his life. And then the positive side, of course, in the verse as well, and to purify for himself. Something great and glorious came out of it, his death in the cross. So the scriptures teach us, as in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, you know, what that ransom price he gave himself for us. What was it? It says his own precious blood as of a lamb. Without blemish, without spot. You go to the county fairs, who knows if there'll be any or not this season, but you go to them and they got those lambs so prettified. Have you gone there and seen how they dote over them and clean them up and work? It almost seems day and night to get them to look perfect and clean, and then they're going to sell them out for somebody who would like some lamb chops. But they try to make them look spotless, as if they have no blemishes. Well, there was a lamb without spot, without blemish. And how can we not honor him? As we think of those four little words, gave himself for us. Gave himself for us. Now, when we look at this verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, when we look at that, we kind of ask ourselves that question, you know, from what power of evil were we redeemed, were we delivered from? From what evil? And he says, from every lawless deed. My, aren't there a lot of lawless deeds? What a delivery from lawlessness. As a kid, I'd like to move around, illustrate this, but I guess I'm confined help somehow here, because you maybe couldn't hear me too well. But as a kid, me and my brothers loved to play cops and robbers or cowboys, the bad guys and the good guys, or the sheriff. And what were those other people called? Outlaws. The outlaws. You know, that's not even used anymore. Outlaws. And we'd take turns, you know. One time, one or two would be the outlaws. The other times would be the sheriff. And we all had our own apple tree. That was our house or safety place or hideaway place, whatever. But the outlaws were named such because they were without the law, lawless, disregarding the law of the land. Well, what is lawlessness? That's another question for us. He tells us right here, he gave himself for us and that we might be redeemed. If we have been redeemed, we've been redeemed from every lawless deed, lawless deed. Now, lawlessness is defined as being uncontrolled. You seen any lawlessness lately on the news? Lawlessness being it's nothing under control. Like a horse without a bridle that's full out gallop. Something unruly or unrestrained. No regard for any law. Sometimes it's called a spirit of lawlessness. A spirit of lawlessness. And it's interesting how a spirit of lawlessness developing in some region or area can spread and so many can get caught up in it. It's a revolt. It can be a spirit of lawlessness in the political realm or the social realm or the artistic realm. We've seen more of it than we would like to see. A state of lawlessness really is called anarchy. That means no leadership. We want no leadership. Without leadership. Well, scripturally, lawlessness is a state defined by that which is sin or sinning. Interesting. In the Old Testament, if you did a nice study there, you'd find there are about 20 terms for lawlessness. 20 different terms in the Hebrew language for it. But it all can get brought down into one location. Or speaking of actions reflecting rebellion against God. Actions, there's activity, something going on. It's not just thinking on it in my mind, but outdoing it. Actions that are a rebellion against God. Actions against God's standard. What's God's standard? The Bible, the Word of God. Then God has said one thing, and the other is, I don't care. I'm going to live a life without God's law brought forth in the Old Testament. It could come out. One of the terms used in the Old Testament is that of lawlessness, is trespassing. Trespassing. You see the sign says, no trespassing, don't enter, and so on. And yet a person comes up to it and he says, I see the sign, I know I'm not supposed to trespass, but I'm going to anyway. Lawlessness. Now in the New Testament, we have clearly brought out in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 that lawlessness or sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. In fact, 1 John 3, 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Whoa. Just kind of pause and think on that a little bit and look at it and ponder it a bit. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Titus says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. He might redeem us. This idea of lawlessness and, of course, redemption brought out so many places in the New Testament. But Romans 4:7 makes a great quote from out of the Old Testament when it says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are what? Forgiven. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. We're so richly blessed, forgiven by God through Christ. Four words, gave himself for us. Gave himself for us. And a reason for it, out of our sinfulness, the negative side of it, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Well, we'd gather, I trust, kind of put together a little package there, that lawlessness is indwelling disobedience. Wanting my own way. We've all been there. It is that which dwells in individuals who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It lives and dwells in them. But for believers, we have been redeemed from it, removed from it. The desire of our heart is not to be that of without law, without the things of brought forth in that way, but our desire is to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm not under a law, but I'm under grace. And under grace, I am one who stands forth and says, Lord, I want to please you, whatever the cost and the price. And so we read, gave himself for us. The Lord Jesus, who gave himself for lawless ones, for us, it was that he might redeem us from all lawless deeds. So it makes us without excuse. There is no lawlessness that is okay at any time, in any situation, for any reason. For the believer has been redeemed from it. While we may often feel that we live in a world that is a world of hate and evil and a world gone crazy with lawlessness, and at times there might even be that. In fact, there is that going on. However, listen, we don't hide away from a sinful world sort of in a closet and wait for all the bad days to go by. Rather, we do something else. You remember this? I was reading this week and contemplating a little bit in the book of James. I'd encourage you to find the book of James. James, verse, was a preacher who kind of, as the term used to be, shot from the hip when things were going on, direct, straightforward, sugarcoat anything. James chapter 3, and you'll find your way down to verse 13, thinking on this idea of living in a lawless world, and how are we to live in it? As we think upon him who gave himself for us. So James chapter 3 and down at verse 12. James 3 and verse 12. Or excuse me, verse 13. We'll move down a verse. James 3:13. The question is, who is wise and understanding among you? We would say, hey, let him show by good conduct. Zealous, godly living, a peculiar people, remember that? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you, talking to believers, talking to those of the local church, talking to those who he gave himself for, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking or self-ambition, wants, desires, and so on in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That kind of wisdom, or this wisdom that we, from verse 14, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, yeah, even demonic. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, what else exists? Confusion and every evil thing are there. And we like our little B-U-T in verses, right? In sections of Scripture, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from where? Above. Do we think of wisdom from God, from the Scriptures? That's from above is first pure. Interesting. Remember our verse with the Lord Jesus, who has redeemed us from all lawlessness, every lawless deed, has made us what kind of people? A purified people. Wisdom from above is pure. So we look to the Word. Lord, direct me through this matter, this situation. Then it's peaceable. That was a lot more than that. It's gentle. We think of the Lord Jesus and his life. It's willing to yield. Doesn't always have to get its own way. Do you like yield signs on the road? I like them for the other guy if he's got to slow down for me, you know. But yield is willing to yield. Full of mercy. That's from above. And good fruits. Without partiality. And without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom from God from above that works into our hearts because he has redeemed us, gave himself for us. Verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. By those who make peace. We do live in a lawless world. There's always been a lawless world. Without Christ, lawlessness reigns. In our hearts and lives, the things of the purity of the things of God reigns, so that we are, as it were, that one standing on the line for what is godly. However, indeed, while there's we live in a lawless world. We are not to be lawless, which really means just disobedient to God, his standard. And neither are we to be disobedient from the standpoint of kind of hiding out, huddling, and not being always ready, and not only always ready, but actually doing that of sharing the things of God. There is no place for lawlessness or hatred in the life of those who have said, he gave himself for me. Four little words. No place for lawlessness or hatred in the life of those whom Jesus gave himself to redeem from every evil power. So by this we live by the wisdom of God from above. And we ask ourselves, am I living in that way? Is that the way I'm living? Now back to Titus in 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. to be involved in good works zealously. Lord willing, we'll work on next week or the week after, or maybe we won't. We'll just be in glory. That would be much better, would it not? But if we gather again, we'll work on that and bring out a few things there with it. But pulling things together a little bit this morning, as we look together as a church body at Titus 2:14, and see this twofold reason for the death of Christ, gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own peculiar people. Just to think on that a little bit in our final moments this morning hour together. And it's just the positive point of things. When Christ redeems us from lawlessness, he has redeemed us unto, or so we would set forth, that which is a life of godliness or purity in a very impure, crooked world, where we are to shine as lights, where we are to set forth that we are that light set on the hill for the namesake of the Lord Jesus Christ. By means of his blood and his spirit, he has purified us, made us to be those servants of his that Christ came and gave himself for us. I'm going to read 1 John 1. It's familiar, I trust, to you. And verses 7, 8, and 9. 1 John chapter 1 at verse 7. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have something. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what? It cleanses us from all sin. He who has redeemed us from all wickedness is also the same power of the blood that cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, who gets deceived? We do deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Made us a people that is his, gave himself for us. And we need to be made pure by him and have been made pure by him, so that we might be a people fit or perfected as his very own to live godly in a world as it is right now, this present time. We'd pause and kind of say this morning, how does that verse, that truth, make us feel today? We've been those who have been redeemed from every lawless deed, that while it would seem like almost on the news that it's the only way to live, lawlessness, you get your own way that way. Gave himself for us. He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself, he who gave himself to purify for himself you, his own special people. You are, because you're purchased by his blood to live that which is a life of purity in an impure world. How does that verse and that truth make us kind of feel today? Inspire us a bit. It ought to encourage us. I can press on in a a world that is lawless. I can live godly in the midst of it. I've been redeemed from lawless deeds, and I've been purified for him. I'm his own special people. I can live godly in a crooked world. I can tell others of God that lawlessness is not God's way. I can have a change of attitude toward others and their great disrespect for God. Might I be zealous of good works for the namesake of the Lord, and a great care for him and who he is. So remember, our Lord Jesus, four words, gave himself for us so as to redeem us from lawlessness, from every lawless deed, and to purify unto himself his own special people, the local church, zealous of good works. How will we display that this week is always the question before us. How will we be in obedience to that? In what zealous way will we serve him as we wait for that glorious appearing of our very own personal God and Savior, Jesus Christ? Our Father, we would pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. And yet, Father, while we are here, might you find us those that are desirous always to see your word, your work done your way. And for one more person to hear of that wisdom from above of the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for us. Might that press us forward this week, gave himself for us. Father, might we honor you properly. Might you use us as an instrument for your glory, that we would be the mouthpiece of your graciousness this week. Give us to that, we pray. As we pray for all these requests mentioned this morning, that you would show yourself mighty on the behalf of each one who indeed has been purified, is your own through your Son's blood. Give us safety traveling home. Give us a great week of honoring you. And bless over your word through us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed. When you got the strength to get up, we can go.